shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
One of my friends died. It's kind of disappointing.
By its adoption of House Resolution 1737, the House has resolved that
I don't care what happened.
You heard him brag that he killed Ronnie Chase.
That's what he was saying.
That's kind of gross.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that can bring you
sick, juicy burger
and truth, because it's our bitch. Every night to the Looking Glass we go. Places where other talk shows can't go. But we go there anyway. Because we got to go there. Nobody else can go there. Welcome to the program here. 877-876-PHIL. And this is our news hour, so we rarely, if ever, take phone calls. But we put our number out there in case anybody has any, you know.
But if you got any really important news or something.
Yeah, if they have important news. Like, well, we got the important news. Maybe they have something that they can fill. Maybe the guy who, I don't want to talk, you know, stupid, but somebody knows something about the Ronnie Chasen, you know.
Well, they're going to call us, man. You call a Beverly Hills PD.
Well, that's true.
What are you talking about?
All right, I'm just, anyway, more information is coming out on the Ronnie Chasen murder, plus John McCain is a good man, and I like him, and I think he has the country's best interest at heart and all that stuff, but brother, sir, with all respect, you're wrong about don't ask, don't tell. You're wrong about legalizing weed. Not that legalizing weed is a huge issue. I could care myself, but don't ask, don't tell is you've been left behind, man. And the reason why I say that, and we'll get into this, but there is in the military, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not a military man, but I am an American citizen, and just to sort of put a nice pink bow on this whole conversation that people often have, well, were you ever in the military? No, I wasn't in the military. You want to know why? Because I wouldn't have been very good in the military. You know what I do well? This is what I do well. I'm an American citizen, and I am an advocate for the military, and I tell the story of the military, and I tell the historical story of the military, and I support our military. And I do it as a public personality and a radio personality, and I exhort and I endorse and I support and I advocate on behalf of those guys so that their mission can be accomplished. But have I been in the military? No. Having said that, let me say this, because I come from the knowledge that our military is a civilian-directed military, i.e. the commander-in-chief. Don't ask, don't tell is a policy, and the policy can be replaced with, well, you can tell. Now you know you're serving with a gay guy. Really? Yeah. And the soldier says, well, I don't like that. And you say to the soldier, well, that's too bad. Maybe you can get that job back at your dad's hot dog stand. Would you like to do that? Or what are you talking about? What I'm talking about is you've just been given an order, haven't you? Now, I don't need to be in the military. I don't need to understand the so-called culture of the military to understand that in post-war America, we integrated our armed forces with African-American soldiers, and if you didn't like it, you could take that and stick it, too. See, it's called the officers directing their men, giving an order, and you do it. And this stuff about how we're going to have guys leaving the military and it's just going to be just a terrible thing, and they haven't got any data backing that up. They haven't got one shred of real, honest data. I'm not talking about some crap that some think tank that is that's politically skewed concocted. They haven't got any data that is reliable and is actual that says that this is going to affect the military in a negative way for any length of time. The men do what the officers and the leadership in the military tell them to do. And if they don't, they can leave, they can go to federal prison, they can go to military stock, whatever the hell it is they feel like they want to do, but you're going to do it. I know that much about the military.
You'd make a pretty good general.
Yeah, I would make a good general. I'd make a very good general. I say to them, here's what's going to happen. You know, there's a story, a very good story. You see, this is just all history. When Jackie Robinson broke into Major League Baseball, 46, 47, something like that, I don't remember when, you know. I know it was very significant, and I know we should know our dates, but I don't. And
why don't you ought to know that.
Do you?
No.
Yeah.
You're the host of the show.
He asked you on account of your black.
Never mind why I asked him. The St. Louis Cardinals were a pack of rednecks, and they didn't want to take the field against the Brooklyn Dodgers when the Brooklyn Dodgers came to St. Louis to play. This was in the first year of Jackie Robinson being in Major League Baseball. They were not going to be on the field with a black guy, and that was just where that's at. And they were going to tell the commissioner of baseball that he can just take his baseball and he can stick it. We're the St. Louis Cardinals. We ain't going to, you know. And it's actually one of the reasons why, to this day, I've never liked Joe Garagiola, because Joe Garagiola, if you remember him from NBC, that smiling meathead that they used to have, he was a catcher for the Cardinals when Robinson was playing, and he spiked Robinson on purpose because he was a meatheaded slob. Anyway, here's the point that I'm making.
When you talk about Joe Garagiola.
Joe Garagiola, never mind. The Cardinals said, we're not going to take the field. The commissioner of baseball at the time, forgive me, I don't remember his name. It might have been Judge Landis, but I don't think it was. He went to the Cardinals, and he basically said the following thing. Well, you know, you don't have to take the field, but you're going to forfeit the game. And frankly, we're not changing the policy. So if you don't like it, why don't you take your mitt and your chewing tobacco and your dumbass and go back to the farm? Go play semi-pro ball. Go play in the sand lot. Do whatever it is you want to do. Because nothing's going to get changed, guys. We're moving forward. The guy's playing Major League Baseball. He's going to go. He's on the Brooklyn Dodgers. He's playing baseball. And you clowns, you make up your mind, all right? Because every time you don't step out onto the football, onto the baseball field, you're going to forfeit that game. Now, just how stupid are you guys? I mean, you look stupid, but you can't really be that dumb, are you? And it didn't take very long for the Cardinals to get the message, and they damn well got out there on the baseball field and played. They might not have liked being with the black guy in the field, and there might have been guys in the military didn't like having any black guys sitting next to them in the mess hall or whatever the hell their problem was, but guess what? The officers and the policy from the commander-in-chief had been laid down, and either you accommodate yourself to it, or you can go and do something else, man. Go back to your old job selling shoes, go work a gas pump, whatever. It's not a difficult thing to figure out. And every time you hear these stories, well, the military won't stand, the men in the military, horse dung. And he won't fight, and he won't do this, and he won't do that. Well, I say, any guy that says that, I'm very happy to know that, because I'm happy to say to him that you don't work for the United States government in the capacity of a soldier anymore. You get your ass out. What about the gay guy? Gay guy's staying, because that guy wants to follow orders. You don't. You're fired. What the hell? What do you think that we need your ass that bad? That we need soldiers that bad in this country? That we're going to put up with a guy who's grousing and grumbling and pissing and moaning to the point where you talk about a guy that's bad for morale. It ain't the gay guy. It's you with your mouth. The fact you don't want to be next to this queer. You don't want to be serving with these guys. You want to and blah, 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 blah. You know what? Do us all a big fat favor, man, and go jump on a lake. How about that? And people act like this is some kind of a mystery. They think it's, oh, you know, I don't know. You don't know? I do. I know. You give them an order. This is what's going to happen. Anybody not like it? Well, I don't want to serve with a gay guy. Great. There's the exit right there. Get out. Anybody else? Well, we're all going to quit the military. We're all going to quit the military? Great. Then we'll just have an all-queer military. How about that? Yeah. That's how you solve that problem. And I understand that the politicians and the commander in chief, whether it is a Bush or it's an Obama or whoever it is, doesn't want to rub the military the wrong way. You want to have respect for the brass. I get it. But there comes a time when somebody's got to make a decision.
Yeah, but you're going to say Obama's going to put gays in there. And now they're going to say, yeah, he's really a socialist. You know,
how's that? What's that got to do with socialism?
Well, I mean, that is socialism, ain't it?
No, why is that socialism?
Because Obama said he's going to have health care and gays.
He's going to have health care and gays. What is that? I don't understand that.
You know, you heard what he said in a campaign, that he want to have health care and put a gay in. You know that?
Yeah.
He want to have health care and put a gay in? You mean in the military?
Yeah, that's what you think we're talking about.
Well, what's that got to do with socialism, man? That's what I want to know.
Because he's saying that He's not going to let nobody vote on it.
Who's going to vote on that?
They're going to have the soldiers vote on it.
The soldiers ain't going to vote on anything. You understand? They ain't going to vote on where they take a dump tomorrow morning. What do you mean they're going to vote on it?
You got to let the soldiers vote on it.
Since when do soldiers vote on anything? They ain't voting on nothing. Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind? Vote? Even if they let them vote, they're going to, you know what? The word is, even if they let the soldiers vote, they'd be in favor of having gay people in the military. So what do you think of that?
I don't know, man. Are you crazy? They don't want to have them or that in there.
Yeah, because it's socialism.
Bud, I don't think you even know what socialism is. It ain't socialism to have gays in the military. It may be something, but it ain't socialism.
Oh, yeah, right. They've never had a gay in the military or that anybody knew about.
They never had a gay in the military that anybody knew about. They had gays in the military that people found out about after they left.
Yeah, but not when they was there.
But it ain't socialism is what I'm saying. And you knuckleheads saying you want the soldiers. First of all, soldiers ain't going to vote on diddly squat. That's number one. Number two, if they did, the latest polls show they'd be in favor of it.
Then you're going to talk about Ronnie Chase and everything. You talk about gay.
I'll talk about what I'm going to talk about when I want to talk. Boy, you guys, I'm telling you, man.
No, but you don't recognize how the liberalism of Obama going to have gays and then health care.
That's right, man. That's right. With the liberalism of Obama, we'll get gays in and then health care. Because those two things are completely connected, and I totally see... Oh, man.
No, you don't get it.
No, you don't get it. I get it. You don't get it.
I don't think you get it.
I get it fine. You guys don't get it. A student gets, I'll tell you who got it, the student that got pummeled by a bully but his teacher doesn't step in, that's who got it. And now the teacher's going to get it. Plus, some people are going to get Grammys.
How you know that?
Because they've been nominated. Grammy nominations have been announced. We'll have those for you, and we'll have the latest on the Ronnie Chasen case. They've identified the individual who shot himself. I've identified some of his activities, perhaps. Maybe we'll get to the bottom of this, sooner rather than later. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here. We have a couple of stories on the Ronnie Chasen case and the suicide of this suspect yesterday evening at around 6 o'clock at night in Hollywood in the apartment building that this man, he's been identified. His name is Harold Smith, I believe. Harold Smith is his name. And the Beverly Hills Courier newspaper was the first media outlet to identify him early this morning. And the neighbors say that he was a weird ass, and they say that he talked a lot, and they say that he was this and he was that, and I'm beginning to think that maybe this guy is just, he's got nothing to do with it.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Because, well, how likely is it that a guy who actually killed Ronnie Chasen's babbling about it, and then the next minute he's scaring people, then he's coming back with a gun, he sounds like just a really messed up crack addict. But how do we know this guy's got anything to do with this? I mean, he's a violent guy. He's an ex-con. He's a lot of things, you know?
Yeah, but why did he kill himself?
Yeah, that's a dead giveaway.
Because he said he wasn't going to go back to jail. He said, I'm not going to go back to prison. He didn't want to go back to prison. What's that got to do with him killing Ronnie Chasen? And he might have been a mental deficient. I mean, this guy's emotionally, I'm beginning to think, and I could be wrong, he ain't got nothing to do with it.
Oh, man, you don't say that, man. You said they're going to wrap this up in 2 weeks.
I thought they would. In any event, the suicide of a suspect in the slaying of Beverly Hills publicist Ronnie Chasen was captured on a security videotape at the Hollywood apartment where police confronted the man. According to law enforcement sources, police are reviewing the tape and also interviewing several witnesses who were in the lobby at the time. Beverly Hills police were serving the warrant at the Harvey apartment on Santa Monica Boulevard just after 6 o'clock when the shooting happened. A resident says the man, identified by the Beverly Hills Courier as Harold Smith, often made her nervous and talked about being hired as a hitman. That's what I'm saying. You know?
Well, maybe he figured as soon as he gets his money, he's going to go away, so it doesn't matter.
You know what? You can come up with all kind of kooky things, man, to make the theory fit, but it just doesn't sound...
I don't know, but not everything like in the movies, you know?
Okay, yeah, you're right. Not everything is like in the movies. Authorities are calling Smith a person of interest in Chasen's death, though they did not provide more information. Understand, the police are not saying anything. Beverly Hills police are not saying anything. So all of the stuff we're telling you is stuff that has been gleaned or is otherwise concocted by media, starting with the Beverly Hills Courier and then Channel 5 and then the New York Times and then the LA Times. Here is a neighbor. Her name is Terry Gilpin. She was a neighbor of the suspect. She identified was identified by some outlets, this suspect, as Harold Smith. She spoke to reporters today about last night's suicide.
But you actually heard him brag that he killed Ronnie Chasen.
That's what he was saying. He was like saying, well, I did that. I did that. I'm getting ready to come into some big money. I'm getting $10,000. You know, he talks all kinds of crazy stuff. He's been talking crazy stuff all week. So you're thinking to yourself, okay, this guy's probably just trying to take credit for something he didn't actually do. My general impression of him is he acted and presented himself like a nutcase.
Beverly Hills Police Lieutenant Tony Lee remains tight-lipped over the investigation into Chasen's murder and how Harold Smith was connected.
Their detectives were here on a follow-up, and this person was a person of interest from the Chasen incident. And that's all we have at this point. As the captain mentioned, this person shot himself. It was a self-inflicted gunshot wound, pronounced dead later on, and the investigation is ongoing at this time. We've got nothing further to disclose about
here
the investigation.
Is, Gil Carrillo, who recently retired as a lieutenant after 38 years with the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department, told AP today that whomever shot Chasen was a pro based on what he read in a leaked coroner's report.
What it did tell me was whoever did the shooting in this case was proficient in their art. They hit center mass, which is what you're going for in a kill. On a still target, I don't know that I could hit, and I qualify in every trimester. I don't know that I could hit a shot group that good. So it's somebody that's proficient in what they're doing.
What?
I don't know. This whole thing's starting to sound flaky.
What are you talking about, man? They knew it, hitman.
All right. If that guy's a professional hitman and we got crackhead over here babbling on about the money that's owed him and this and that, you think that's the guy?
He might be like, what do they call an idiot savant?
An idiot savant, meaning what? He knows how to shoot real good, but other than that?
Yeah.
You guys are high. Authorities are calling Smith a person of interest. Detectives received information suggesting he would be at his apartment Wednesday night. A police source told the LA Times. The source also said Smith had been under police surveillance for some time. Police approached the man in the lobby of the building, and he refused orders to raise his hands. You know the rest. He put up his arms. He pulled a gun and put it to his head and shot himself. And you just heard Terry Gilpin, who is one of the neighbors. The suspect might have been a drug dealer, says this next story from Radar Online. That don't make him guilty either.
Yeah, but it's all adding up.
It don't add up to nothing, I'm telling you. On Wednesday night, the man police suspected... How do we know the cops think he's involved in the murder? He's a person of interest. Maybe they think he had information about who was. In any event, Radar Online is writing the story. A man police suspected was involved in the murder of veteran publicist Ronnie Chasen, who shot himself. Radar Online has learned that he may have had a history of illegal activity and was desperate for money. According to two sources at the Harvey Apartments, where Wednesday night's suicide occurred, the suspect, Harold Smith, kept to himself and was involved in dubious behavior.
Just read it.
Harold probably got caught up in something or someone snitched on him. A neighbor who requested an anonymity said. The neighbor added that while he thought Harold was a cool cat, he sold drugs, including weed. He'd come by my apartment. We'd smoke weed together. He sold drugs, too. He was a cool cat and kept to himself and really didn't say much, the neighbor said. Nah, man, he wasn't getting evicted. That fool sold drugs and had some other stuff going on. He had money or was getting money. Think about it, homie. What? Well, get out of here. What weed dealer you know gone stay strapped with a gun? He was definitely into some other stuff, and that's all I'm going to say. What?
Right, well, that's true. What guy's going to deal weed and he's going to have a gun?
I don't know. I have no idea. All I'm telling you is I got the creepy feeling that this guy is just some weird ass. Maybe he knows who did it. Maybe he was there. Maybe he was in the car. Maybe, I don't know, you know. But let me ask you something. How likely is it that a guy like that, who is out running his yap about how he was involved in the Chasen murder, right? How likely was it going to be before if the cops hadn't come for him, one of his accomplices would?
Well, I mean, but if he's yelling about how he done it and people are focused on him.
Yeah, and if the cops arrest him and then they interrogate him, and if he knows something about other people,
Yeah, maybe he killed himself because he thought the Beverly Hills cops was them guys.
Maybe he thought the Beverly Hills could, maybe. I don't know. Well, we'll keep looking at it anyway. World famous Phil Hendry Show. The Grammy nods are up next. Charles Manson's back in the news. We'll tell you why. Has to do with the technology. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Perseverance, get nods from the Grammys. Welcome back to world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. Did you guys see this?
Yeah, I don't watch the Grammys because it's got nothing but, well, the music they have is for what you would call homosexual clubs. And
will you shut up, man?
Well, I agree with it, man. It's more like for gay.
Well, so what, man? What are you talking about, gay club music? Listen to this. You know, the homophobia...
I'm just kidding around.
Well, it ain't kidding around. Although you're right, I'm looking at that. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, see?
No, I'm kidding. The Grammys these days, you know, the Grammy Awards for the longest time when I was coming up as a young guy, back in the day when I was in my 20s, the Grammys were a joke because they were very commercial. They didn't even acknowledge, the Grammys didn't even acknowledge rock and roll until the late 80s. They didn't even acknowledge that rock and roll existed. So now to see all this interest in the Grammys is it's pretty funny to me. Anyway, these days the Grammy Awards have a special fondness for two things, youth and a good comeback, according to the New York Times. At the nomination ceremony for the 53rd annual Grammys, broadcast from Los Angeles on Wednesday night, Eminem was the big leader with 10 nods for Recovery, the album that has brought him back into favor with critics and his fans. Although he never really, his fans liked him. The critics just thought his fans didn't like him. And so you know how it goes. It's the best-selling album of the year, by the way. Jay-Z, Lady Gaga, and the country band Lady Antebellum also did well with 6 nominations apiece. Love the Way You Lie by Eminem featuring Rihanna is up for Record of the Year and Song of the Year. Eminem landed, as we mentioned, 10 nods. That's enough of that, so I'm kidding. This is the one I like.
Not afraid.
Yeah. Well, this is the one where he rips into his wife and his mother, and you know.
I guess I have that one.
So that's Eminem, and good for you, Eminem. That's, you know, it's a good. It is. It's a good album of what I've heard, but I can't listen to all of it. Otherwise,
You get a headache.
I get a headache, I get cranky, and I get tired, and I want to lay down and put a shawl on. All right, next up we have for the most notable nomination and a conspicuous portion of airtime on the one-hour show on CBS went to some of the music industry's youngest hitmakers, an effort by the Recording Academy, which bestows the awards, to align itself more closely with the pop charts and draw much-needed younger viewers as opposed to some of the old weird crap they've done in the past. Lady Antebellum's Need You Know is, or Need You, Need, yeah, Need, New, New?
Need You New.
No, You're Nude.
Not You're Nude, Need You Now, is a contender for Record of the Year and Song of the Year, while their album was also nominated for Album of the Year. Oh, wrong pot. Hold on. Album of the Year.
And I wonder if I ever cross your mind.
That is a threat.
For me it happens all the time.
This is a country band.
It is a country band.
I'm all alone and I need you now. Said I wouldn't call, but I lost
awesome.
All control and I need you now.
I like country music, but I don't like, if it sounds like it's too polished up and stuff.
Yeah, what about the one lady you hated?
Shania Twain.
Yeah, she sucked pretty well. I shouldn't say that because that, you know that.
All right, thank you. Shania Twain stunk. She was. I shouldn't say that, but she did. Now then, moving along. So we mentioned that Bruno Mars, who has sung on his own number one and who has sung on his own number one hits and others, got 7 nominations, including several for his collaborations. And the hottest contest of the 2011 awards, which will be given out in Los Angeles on February the 13th, which is the anniversary of the 1971 Sylmar earthquake, might be the best new artist category, in which Justin Bieber, or Bieber, age 16, squares off against Drake, who is 24. Drake, a descendant of Sir Francis Drake, who is a pop singer, his great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather discovered Virginia, the same age as that old pro Lady Gag, the cast of Glee, all under the age of 25, received 2 nods, best pop performance by a duo or a group for their cover of Don't Stop Believing and best compilation soundtrack. Dig it, man. Here we have now the only exception received a nod for best pop performance by a duo or a group with vocals. This is Paramore. Excuse me, it's Paramore. Thank you very, very much. We do have to move the show along. Next up, we have a song by the Zac Brown Band, the best country song, and it's called Free. Great. Next up, I'm kidding.
What? Play it.
All right.
Just as free.
Thank you. We'll call your agent and
play the song.
What do you want? Okay, here it is.
Just as free.
Is that it?
Free as we'll ever be. Just as free.
Hey, wait a minute, man. Where's Paramore on here?
They did the duo, the best compilation of a duo.
Whatever. All right. So for the Grammy nominations were usually released in a drab early morning news conference for many, many years. But for a third time, the Recording Academy went on television to begin its annual cycle, if you pardon the expression. That turned to more media-heavy forms of promotion, so they're trying to, you know, make it more of a cool, groovy kind of a thing. The television format provided some perhaps unintended comedy in announcing the nominees for Song of the Year. Dave Grohl of Foo Fighters and the teen pop singer Selena Gomez cringed slightly when mentioning the song otherwise known as Forget You by CeeLo Green. It's F-U is what it is. Okay, I think that's all we have, except for one more cut, and I don't know. Oh, yes, here we have it. A nod for Best Male Pop Vocal went to Bruno Mars, and the cover of Just the Way. There's a song that did not need to be covered, but it was by the cast of Glee.
But every time she asks me, do I look okay, I say.
How come you're not playing Just the Way You Are, man? Is that Just the Way You Are? Oh, okay, thank God. Because I thought it was Just the Way You Are. I thought it was the Billy Joel Just the Way You Are, because he did cover just the he covered a Billy Joel song that did not need to be covered, and I think it was
I forget. I'll look for it.
Thank you. So there are the Grammys on February the 13th. Check it out. Meanwhile, back in Florida, while all of the youth of America, the artistic youth of America, was being honored here in California for potential greatness with the Grammys, there are other youths in other places. The youth of Florida, for instance, where one kid was getting the crap kicked out of him while the teacher sat there and stared with a finger in her nose, or his. The pummeling of a Palm Beach, Florida middle school boy.
They don't call him a middle boy. Ain't that what it is?
I think that if you're a middle school boy, you're basically a middle boy. A middle school boy by another student has infuriated the boy's family, who say the teacher did nothing but sit by his computer while the fight raged in his classroom. Is this true? Is it possible? Video of the fight between Joshua Poole, age 13, and Jaga middle school classmate, whose name I guess is not mentioned, a Jaga middle school classmate, shows Poole swinging wildly as he punched repeatedly before falling to the floor. The teacher's inaction was reportedly due to a school policy that staff can only intervene after undergoing training. You're kidding. That type of policy run amok is a growing problem in schools across the country. No kidding. You know who is behind this asinine stuff? I'll say it again, and I will never tire of saying it. Parents. Not the schools, the parents. And their lawsuits. And they're demanding this, and they're demanding that. And my kid should be allowed to be a jackass, and your kid doesn't get to be a jackass. And my kid should be allowed to be a pain in the ass, and your kid should be a saint. And my kid is a little stupid, and so my kid should be allowed to pick his nose and put his feet on the desk. And your kid, I mean, I'm telling you, you know, sooner or later, if we want to have a public school system in this country, I don't give a damn about tax dollars. We're going to have you want a czar? I want a czar for public schools.
Yeah, you'll never get away with it. That's when the teachers, or I mean the parents, will come down like, they'll come down like a broom, man.
You know something? Good, let them. I like a public school czar who says, this is how it's going to be. You don't like it? Vote me out. But what I say goes. And we ain't having none of this yet. If there's a fight breaking out in the classroom, break the fight up. But here's a teacher who's sitting there. Did you ever think it was possible? Did you ever think in your wildest dreams we'd be living in this jackass, upside-down world? And the poor kids, what do they, how could they possibly grow up with any respect for the adults around them? How could they possibly grow up with any confidence in the adults around them? Carol Kotchner Bryant, a professor at George Washington University's Graduate School of Education and Human Development, was the one that said that this is a policy run amok. Palm Beach County School District officials insist the teacher followed procedure during the middle school fight, which took place last month, and that he was not properly trained per district protocol to break up such altercations. Are you ready for that? When the students would not stop fighting, the teacher went to the hallway to get help, read a statement released by the school. Assistant Principal Brent Eiley responded and helped stop the fight. Both students were disciplined. Poole's father, Clarence Poole, told ABC's Palm Beach affiliate that the fight came after previous incidents of bullying. You know how you stop a fight? You get a garden hose and just turn it right on them.
Yeah, that'd be the best way to do it.
Yeah, except you got everything wet.
You got two kids that are fighting, and you take the garden hose and just, like, they're, you know. It keeps happening. He said his son was getting bullied. Somebody will just come up from behind and start brutalizing him. Boom, boom, boom. Bing, bing, bing. The lawyer for the family, Craig Goldfarb, said he planned to sue on their behalf, charging negligence on the part of the school and all that. See, you see? The fight captured another student's cell phone video came to blows only after minutes of taunting. And we got public schools, public education. You understand that public education was introduced in this country at a very, very, very early point because we felt it was absolutely mandatory that every child in this country receive basic rudimentary education. Now, it would never be introduced today. Never. It would never happen. Today, in today's climate, we would not have any public education at all. And I'm sure that a lot of people would say, because they're already through school and they've already graduated and they're about as smart as they're going to get or as dumb as they're going to be. And they would all say the following thing. Well, Phil, you know, that's good. That's good. No, we shouldn't. Look at the state of public schools today. Okay. So what you're saying then is that not every kid should be educated. No, I didn't say that. But they should get vouchers. Oh, they should get vouchers. Are you saying that they're supposed to have their kid educated or not? Well, yeah. Oh, so they have to send their kid to school, but the public school they can't send their kid to because that's too stupid. So what are you talking about? Give them the option to go to a private school with their voucher. And how exactly is that going to work? What school and where? What private school are you talking about, man, that is going to serve my kid that lives over here when all of the public schools are right here and the private schools are way out there? Where am I going to go there? There was a time when we thought that public education today would never, ever, ever, ever get through. It would never pass. It would never pass because it's socialism. What's the difference between public education and public health care? And you can sit and make a joke and say that public education is a joke, but it's a tragedy is what it is. Not a joke. It's a tragedy. This is a tragedy. Do you know what Vladimir Putin said today about the United States Congress? You know what he said?
Uh-uh.
He said that they're going to do something. He referred to them as dumb. He said they're going to sit there and go through their same dumb nonsense. He referred to them as dumb. It's the leader of Russia, the United States Congress. And you want to know something? Is there anybody that disagrees with him? But that's the leader of Russia talking about our representative body, the American people. That's what he that's basically his opinion of us. That's his opinion of us. We put them there dumb. You know. So
well, what are we talking about here, Putin or
I don't know. I lost track. I'm depressed now because I always wanted his respect. All right, coming back here on the Phil Hendry Show, cell phone use in California prisons. It's out of control. Guess who had a cell phone? We'll tell you when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show and online at philhendryshow.com. Now, I read the quote this morning from Vladimir Putin, and his quote this morning was that the United States Congress would be showing its dumb nature, or the United States Congress would be showing its usual dumb nature, something like that, in not ratifying START. Now, ever since then, if you try to find that quote, you can't find it. Now, why is that? I'm telling you right now, I read it this morning. You can find a dumb nature, the dumb nature. For instance, the Charlotte Observer, the headline, Putin, failure to ratify START would be dumb. Well, did he say it would be dumb? No. When you go further into the story, it says it would take, quote, a very dumb nature, end of quote, for legislatures to ignore that. But the quote is not, it would be a dumb nature if the quote is their dumb nature, meaning they already have one. Either way, I find it fascinating that they have sanitized, they've literally scrubbed this quote. Everywhere that I look for it, now it's not there. Everywhere I look, now it's not there. I'm telling you right now, if you find the entire comment in context and you find the entire sentence, you can't find the sentence. Nowhere can you find the sentence. All they did is excerpt a very dumb nature. Now, I'm wondering why they scrubbed that. Is it because did the president of Russia ask that the press do? Well, no. Is the American media doing that so that it doesn't incense, you know, make us get angry? I don't know. What exactly did the White House ask? Who makes the decision? You know, that's a little hard, man. Why don't we, sanitize that a little bit? But that's what was said. And so my whole point is this. There is now in the lexicon, in the conversational, the throwing out of ideas by foreign leaders, at least in the case of Putin and probably others, it is now acceptable because it's very obvious that there's something wrong with the United States of America. And it doesn't have anything to do with right, and it doesn't have anything to do with left. It doesn't have anything to do with liberal or conservative. It has to do with brain power. You're dumb. They're stupid. This is an accurate read, folks. It's not criminality. It's not nothing to do with that. It's just flat stupid. And it isn't just the Congress. It happens to do with our business leaders. It happens to do with our industry. It has to do with everything. I mean, everything that we've attempted here, it seems over the last 20 years, we have just stumbled and fumbled all the way along the line. And now we got Putin throwing it up in our face. Thank you very much.
We can take it from a Russian.
We got no choice. We got to take. What do you mean you take it from? We got no choice.
Well, you can't say that.
Well, he did, didn't he? What do you want to do? Launch some missiles at him or something?
There was a communist. They wouldn't let him do it.
Oh, really? What are they going to do, bud?
I don't know.
Yeah, there you go. That's the $64,000 answer. I don't know. We ain't going to do nothing. We don't have the national will to do anything, man. We are so befuddled. We are a people going one way with a government going the other way. And we blame the government for not going our way. Well, we put them there.
Yeah, you can't say that's our fault. The government is doing the wrong stuff.
Oh, get out. They're doing what they think we want them to do. Charles Manson had a cell phone. California prisons fight inmate cell phone proliferation. How do you like that, man? These are prisons, and we have to actually fight something. We don't have complete control over our prisons. This is a prison. Contraband cell phones are becoming so prevalent in California prisons that guards can't keep them out of the hands of the most notorious and violent inmates. Even Charles Manson, orchestrator of one of the most notorious killing rampages in U.S. history, was caught with an LG flip phone under his prison mattress. Manson made calls, sent text messages, and think I even got one, to people in California, New Jersey, Florida, I'm kidding, and British Columbia, probably fans. Before officers discovered the phone, said Terry Thornton, a spokesperson for the California Department of Corrections. Asked whether Manson had used the device to direct anyone to commit a crime or to leave a threatening message, Thornton said, I don't know, but it's troubling that he had a cell phone since he's a person who got other people to murder on his behalf. No kidding. Manson, 76, is technically eligible for parole, but will almost certainly die in prison for ordering the ritualistic murders of Sharon Tate and six others. Charles Manson with it. Did you send it to him, bud?
Well, I'm not saying on account of the Fifth Amendment.
Good boy. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Don Naylor has been our technical director. Dan Northcraft, our associate producer. And, of course, our executive producer, Jason Rance. PhilHendryShow.com.
Later. Phil Hendry.